For you are faithful. You are faithful to your plan. You are faithful because you said you will not leave our soul in hell. You are faithful because you will take us through the valley, through the mountain, through the night, through the day, through every condition. Because you are choosing out for yourself a people out of the dust, out of the darkness. Lord, we thank you because you are faithful. We bless you for your faithfulness. Even as you bring us to your table, you are faithful to bring even the cry of the trumpet, the sound of the trumpet. You are faithful even when we have been unfaithful. You are faithful to encourage and to correct, to instruct, to rebuke, to encourage. We thank you for your faithfulness and for your faithfulness unto us. You are faithful to not to take our teachers away from us. You are faithful to give us the teaching priest. Lord, you are faithful even when we do not have appetite. When we are full, you are still faithful. You abide faithful, Lord. Lord, your faithfulness will come today. Lord, we seek to dig the wells again. And we seek to call these wells by the name that you have called them. Lord, we come to dig the wells again. We pray that the wells will be healed. The wells that the Philistines have stuffed. We see the darkness, we see the carnality, we see the back doors, we see the loins, we see our experiences, and Lord, we say you are faithful. You are faithful to begin this journey and to end it. And Lord, we come at the middle of this journey. So long, so far. We toil with so many experiences. And Lord, we say to you that you are faithful. We believe you that started this journey, that you will come, you will end it. You can finish it. You will perfect this work. Lord, you are faithful to send to us strength and encouragement, to bring the ministry of the tongues, to take away the soot, to take away that which comes to be cloud and to weaken. We thank you because you are faithful. You are a faithful God, O God. We submit to your faithfulness to feed your house, to heal your house, to encourage your house, and to cause us to move forward. You are faithful to say, arise and eat, for the journey is yet far. Lord, we receive your grace to arise. Lord, take away this thing that has fallen over our side. Lord, cause our vision to be strong again. You are faithful to do it, O God. You are faithful. You are faithful, Lord. Hallelujah. For you will not leave our soul in hell. You are faithful, Lord, that when you bring us out, you will take us in. We desire to go on. We desire to come in, O God. Blessed be your name, O Lord. For you said, there yet remaineth a rest for your people, O God. We thank you for your faithfulness. How great is your faithfulness, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. He is faithful. Hallelujah. I want to dig the wells again. Amen. I have that burden to dig the wells that our father, you know, dug in the past. Amen. There's a scripture, Ezekiel 47. Many things are in my heart, and I pray that the Lord will speak, not man. You know, we have to separate what man says and what God says. Amen. And I will encourage you to separate what man is saying from what God is saying. Hallelujah. Because God is faithful to his vision. God has a vision, and he will bring us through, he's faithful to that vision to bring us through various experiences. And despite whatever experience we may go through or where we are, the faithfulness of God will not fail. The Bible says that the vision is for an appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. This whole thing is about the vision. God is faithful to his vision. Ezekiel 47 is a story or a vision of a young man regarding God's purpose. And if you look, we don't have time to read through all, but I'll paraphrase because I have many things on my heart and I don't know how far we can go. Ezekiel 47 says that there are four stops along this journey. I don't know where you are, but people are at different levels. He says there was a river that was flowing. The river, for some people, is at the ankle. And if you have been to the ocean, I have been to the Atlantic Ocean, obviously, you see a massive thing. You know, it's intimidating. But you can only stand at the shore. And when you are at the shore, the water comes and he eats your ankle. You know, so that means you are not really in the water, but you are at the water side. You know, so you are, you look at it, you are spectating, you are looking. You can see the whole vast horizon of the river. And you can say, I have been to the river. I can tell you, I've been to Atlantic Ocean in Sierra Leone. I've done that in Libreville. In Gamba and Libreville. You can see the mass. But I was just there by the ocean, just by the shore. Amen. And the Bible says the water flowed and came to the knee. That was the next level. It came to the knee. And he says it took him further and brought him to the loins. Amen. And it took him further, and it was not just the loins, but that he could only swim. In other words, it involved his hands. So God is speaking about the total man. He's speaking of different stops. The question is, where are you? The days of, God is not really, emphasis is no longer on fellowship, it's on individual. The game has changed. God is interested in the individual. Where God is looking at this assembly, he's looking at hearts, he's looking at individuals. Amen. Because at the end of the day, it's not assembly, it is the individual. So the question is, where are you in the flow? Amen. Are you at the shore and you're looking, you're spectating, and you just have a casual experience and then you walk away? Amen. But while you're doing that, someone is out in the sea swimming. It's in the flow. Amen. And, you know, for each and every one of us, the encouragement is that we can go. We can go through the floods. We can go through the various experiences. And we can be in the place where we are swimming. But you see, for you and I to be in that place where we are swimming, there are processes. There are stages. You know, I was saying to some people that, I see the spirit of ultimate reconciliation at work. You know, I see the spirit of rapture at work. The spirit of rapture, which you don't hear anymore because it's not the true gospel, it has taken its rightful place in the dustbin. Because men have shown their true color, that they don't really believe what they're saying. Because men are building mansions, 50-seaters, and all the things they're doing. So that message of rapture, even though God didn't send it, it is now in the dustbin. But the truth of the matter is that the man who is at the shore and the man who is at the flow, amen, there's a difference. And it takes a choice. Amen. And there is not going to be any, I don't want to use the word magic. You know, it's a process. There has to be a walk to go from one level to the other. And the word of the Lord today unto us is to encourage us not to practice ultimate reconciliation to say, well, I will get there anyhow. You know, if I do not pay the price, I cannot qualify to be there. Let's look at, I will come back to this scripture. Let's look at Psalm 63, where the song was coming, because I knew God was speaking to us in that Psalm 63. Psalm 63, he's saying something. Psalm 63. Psalm 63. He's speaking about the soul somewhere. The soul is somewhere. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted. Amen. You know, sometimes when we look at it, I hope you ask the same question that I do. I'm asking, what is the proof? You know, when we talk about the soul, what is the proof about the things we say the soul does? Because we will say, we will teach that the soul has four dimensions: the will, the emotion, the desire, and you know, the mind. What is the proof? As far back as David, he says, my soul tested. So that is speaking of the desire, the hunger, the test. So the soul tested. Amen. And the soul can be satisfied. And the soul can express itself in a mind, and the soul can express itself as a will. But it says, For my soul thirsted for thee, my flesh longed for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Amen. You know, so the soul needs water. The soul needs a refreshing. And, you know, so when he says there was river flowing from the temple and the man was at the brink, he's speaking of the soul. You know, for that individual, the soul is just at the brink. Amen. He's just looking, an onlooker, not affected, not yet touched. And when you look at, when you come to the tabernacle, that's really where I'm going to. The heritage that God gave to us is a message about the tabernacle. And brethren, we need to go back. Pardon me, but we have made light of that word. In our hearts, we say we know it. Amen. But I want to make bold to say there is a call to go back to dig the wells our father has dug. Now, when you come to the tabernacle, the outer court is a wilderness. Amen. This is a drawing of the tabernacle. Amen. The first portion, the second portion, and the third. This one, you have the wilderness here, and you have the same condition here also. Amen. The only difference between this wilderness and this wilderness is that there is a white fence. And I want to touch on those aspects. There's a white fence. The white speaks of righteousness. It speaks of light. Amen. But the same conditions that will affect people who are here will affect people who are in the wilderness. Amen. So he says, my soul thirsted for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Amen. In this wilderness, there are two ordinances. The altar, and then the laver, or the basin. These are two experiences. These two places are not places for feeding. It's not the place where God has prepared for the soul to be fed. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, there is administration in God. And the place where the priest, the only place to eat is at this table. Six loaves, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 12 loaves. That is the place where eating is permitted in the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Amen. So every hungry and thirsty soul, there is a place where God has prepared. And where is that place? It is at this table. We call the table of shewbread. Amen. This table place of change. It's a place of change. And it has a counterpart. The lampstand. And this represents the word. And this represents the spirit. So you have two. The word and the spirit. And God is faithful to his program. And the purpose of this program is the offering of the soul. Is this other altar where the soul is meant to be offered, where we are supposed to offer the soul. And you and I, as a people, and as an individual, and as a Christian, God is expecting you and expecting me to move beyond the outer court into this experience. The outer court, if you look at the structure, is a place for cleansing, is a place for consecration, is a place of judgment, is a place of separation. But the place where the soul is changed is the holy place. And it is the changed soul that will come to the place of marriage or union. Amen. And the Bible says, at the midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." The question is, what are you hearing now? What cry are you hearing? And where are you? Amen. In your experience, where are you? Amen. There is another experience. There is an experience of the soul outside of the dispensation of God. That is, for the soul that is not yet touched by the blood. I don't have different colors. But it's... Yeah, black, okay. The difference between the soul that's outside and the soul that is in is blood. Amen. That's the difference. It's blood. Blood must be applied. Amen. So let's draw the picture here. We'll draw another picture. So this is the soul. This is the human spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the Son. And this is the Father. And then this is the realm of the body. But God's dealing is with the soul. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And the scripture says, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Amen. So, I want to look at the soul. I want to look at that word, soul. Now, if you look at Hebrews chapter 6, let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. We'll come back to this. We are doing this, I feel to do this because there are some of us who do not have proper understanding. So the older ones, pardon us, but I can tell you that each time the tabernacle is taught, it comes with a new light. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
So even though you have heard it, Each time I have taught the tabernacle or heard it taught, there has always been something fresh. Amen. It's new every morning. Hallelujah. You know, so Austin Stark says, when a believer is familiar with God, it means that he's no longer growing. It means that you are static. Amen. That is when you think you know it all. It is a manifestation of being static. Hallelujah. Because God is like an ocean. I've told you about this mighty ocean. Amen. So when nothing is new and your heart is just dull, it's not tabernacle, we know about it. It is a sign of backsliding. Okay, I didn't hear any amen. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us. Hallelujah. So, we are looking at the soul. This is another one that may help. So, this soul is the same soul here. Amen. And, you know, Jesus told them, John chapter 2, he said, the time is coming, and now it's. Amen. That there's going to be a new temple. Hallelujah. This was the one they were used to. You are used to this one. He said, destroy this one, and in 3 days, I will raise up this one. Hallelujah. And he was speaking of the temple of his body. Hallelujah. Now, when you are talking about this soul, you see, you are talking about this veil. Amen. Because the Bible says that there is now a new way that has been established. Amen. That Jesus broke through the veil. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10:19 that veil is his flesh. Hallelujah. And we know that there was another temple. And the man that brought this temple, his name is what? David. And this temple was very peculiar. It was actually a prophetic declaration of this other newer and more everlasting temple. And the Bible says, I will build the tabernacle of David that has fallen down, that all men might flow to it. In other words, there is coming a time when this barrier will be taken away. Amen. Amen. And, you know, Bible says Moses, he went up to the mountain and he came down that his skin of his face was shining. And he put a veil over it. And the Bible says that veil speaks of the experience of New Testament believers. That as long as the law is read, when they come to the law, when they come to the things of God, that there is still a veil where? Over the mind, over the soul. For Moses, it was over his natural face. But Paul was seeing something. He said, look, this veil is not just a natural veil. There is a spiritual veil. Amen. And Paul was saying there is a covering over the soul. Amen. Say amen now. Okay. Okay. Well, actually, I'm changing. I don't really need somebody saying amen for me to go on. So I'm changing. I'm changing my style. I have left you behind. I've changed my style. So whether I say amen or not, it really doesn't affect me. It used to affect me, but the boys are growing to the men. Okay, I would have said amen, but don't need. Hallelujah. The boys are growing to the men. Amen. Hallelujah. So I don't know if you get the drift. Hallelujah. So Moses had a physical veil. Paul says not just physical veil. There is a spiritual veil. And that veil is over the minds of the people. So the question is, have you dealt with the veil over your soul? That is, when you relate to God, at what level are you relating to God? Is it just at the natural level? You know, that's how the word of God can come to us at the natural level. Amen. And we just think it's just Old Testament. Tabernacles. You know that tabernacle that says, amen. But when you go to the book of Revelation, everything in Revelation is about the book of tabernacle. Everything from first word to the last. Hallelujah. And when you go to Leviticus, it's tabernacle magnified. Don't you understand? So he says there yet remaineth a rest for the people of God. The soul must make a journey from hell into Zion. Hallelujah. So he says there is a resurrection of Christ. You know, that's something that I have not been preaching. I want to repent. I have not preached resurrection. Because what you preach is what you practice. Amen. If you teach people faith, they will do faith. They will believe faith. If you teach people resurrection, they will believe resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Hallelujah. Resurrection is not a date. It is a reality of life. Our brother received a tinge of resurrection today. Amen, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought you might be shouting. Anyway, we allow him to just be quiet. You know, we need such men to be humble. And amen. Hallelujah. So, brethren, we're talking about the resurrection. The resurrection of the soul. Amen. The man that must resurrect is the soul. The body cannot resurrect until the soul resurrects. I don't know if you understand the order of resurrection. Because somebody will say, this brother, why is he always disturbing us about soul, soul? The reason why God is disturbing us is because the soul is the key. Wherever the soul goes, the body will go with it. Hallelujah. Okay. It don't agree. The baptism of the Holy Ghost deals with this. Deals with the Spirit. Amen. But the purpose of this baptism is to save the soul. Is to bring the soul through this process. Amen. And you know, the Bible says, look at the scripture, Revelation 5 says that there was a throne, and in the midst of the throne was a lamb slain. How can you be talking about lamb? But you know, you are comfortable with it because you know the lamb is speaking of Christ. He says, behold, the lamb of God. God always speaks in symbolic language. He shows you a lamb, but he's speaking of the function of the lamb. The lamb is usually used as a sacrificial, and the lamb stands for. So when the man brings a lamb to God, he's bringing his soul to God. It's an offering of his soul. Amen. Don't you understand? He says, does God care for oxen? He says, do not muzzle the oxen. That does what? That treads that treads the corn. And he says, does God care for oxen? Amen. He's speaking about the man. He's speaking about men, souls of men. Hallelujah. The soul must make that journey. And that journey is an upward journey. Amen. It's an upward way. Hallelujah. Sometimes something is so steep. When the soul climbs and it gets here, this barrier is too strong. We can't go back. You know what happens? Guess what happens? It's an after it now. The soul goes back. Amen. It goes back. I say, we are not of them who do what? Draw back. Unto, but of those who press on toward the saving of the soul. In other words, how will the soul is saved in God's language when it enters this garden. This is a garden. This is a garden. Okay. It's a garden. Alright. There are flowers there. Cherubims and flowers are growing all over the place. Don't you understand? This was the garden that Adam was cast out from. This soul must go back. Hallelujah. Don't you understand? It is the soul that must make the journey, not the body. This body understands one language: flesh, carnality, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. That is the only language. It is the language of the Philistines. The Philistine is, that word means to roll in the mud. It is the nature of the pigs. Can you imagine Isaac getting a pig, wash it very well? Say, dear, you now, this pig, I'm making a covenant. After I wash you, no more going back. He said, please wash me. You put cologne, bring all the best. You only need to say, okay, let me bring another one to put. Hallelujah. And the pig is back where he came from. That is the spirit of the Philistine. Hallelujah. It means to roll in the, to wallow in the mud. Hallelujah. And these are the spirits that are attacking the soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
These are the spirits that are attacking the soul. And these spirits are lodged in the, they have a particular prison where they are lodged. As a particular place where they are lodged. Hallelujah. And that place is the loins. Don't you understand? They lodge in the mind. Okay, let's look at it. Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. I believe God wants to encourage us to move forward. Amen. The word is that we have circulated around this mountain for too long. It says, arise, take your journey and go northward. Hallelujah. Who wants to go northward today? This is northward. Hallelujah. Let's go up to Zion, the city of our God. Revelation chapter 9. We're looking at the spirit of the locust. It's a spirit that specializes in the mind and in the loins. Amen. It says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. When you hear the word bottomless pit, it's speaking only of one place. The bottomless pit is speaking of the desire, the nature of the desire, the belly. Amen. Somebody say, okay, that's one dimension. You have to take the full dimension of it. The belly speaks of the desire. Amen. And he says, some people, their God is their belly. Amen. Can any man satisfy the belly? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And he says, it speaks of the serpent, it's a cross on the belly. Amen. And he talks of the grasshopper. The grasshopper, the legs are all above the body. You know what that means? The body will never rise. And that's why I said that anything that crawls, has many legs, millipede, centipede, grasshopper, they are unclean to you. Don't eat it. Hallelujah. It's earthbound. Hallelujah. And there are spirits that have been released to make your soul and my soul earthbound. See, the carnally minded man is what? It's earthbound. It can only bring forth death. You shall see, any ministry that is earthbound will never bring the people of God to pray through this veil. Hallelujah. And, oh God, I'm jumping around. Hallelujah. Let me jump around. If you can ask questions. But I just have to give it the way it comes. You see, we're coming back to the locust. You see, at this gate, let's deal with it. This is called the door. This one is called the gate. This one is the veil. These are the three entrances. This place has five pillars. This door has five pillars. And the pillars are set in brass. So for you to enter the holy place, a place where your soul is going to be fixed, to be ministered to, you must go through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the door. To come into the tabernacle at all, you must go through the gate. Amen. Now, the door leads you into the holy place. And there are five of such pillars. In other words, the pillar speaks of the ministry that God has set in the body. Amen. And this ministry must be differentiated. There is something that makes the ministry God is sending to you. Just one. And the thing is because of what? The brass. Any ministry that does not relate to the ground with brass is not the ministry God has sent to you. Amen. The ministry must, as I'm standing now, my leg must be brass. And you see, when he saw the vision of Jesus in Revelation 1, what did he see? He saw this, hallelujah, eyes, flaming fire, clothed. He says that his feet were like feet of brass. That's how you know the true ministry. The ministry must be set in brass. What does that mean? What does brass speak of? Judgment. Judgment of what? Judgment, the standing on the earth. Judgment of traditions. Judgment of the world. Judgment of the system. Judgment of the, you know, today we don't hear, when did you hear the message, love not the world and the things in the world? Do you, how many times, when did you hear that phrase last? Because God says the outer court is going to be overrun by what? The Gentiles. Hallelujah. The ministry must be recovered. Hallelujah. And the ministry that God is recovering must be set in brass. It was the ministry itself must stand in judgment against the world. And that judgment starts in the heart. The Bible says that men love darkness. That's do I love darkness? And when we say love, we're talking about, you know, our children. I don't want to get too particular. Our lifestyle. The things I did yesterday, what was the priority? You understand? The things I did last week, what was the priority? Am I standing in judgment against the world? Now, is there any ministry that makes an allowance for the world? I will not pray about it. I know it's not from God. Amen. Now, many of us are confused because we tune the TV, we see all kinds of things are flying, and we are confused. The Bible says we are following every wind of doctrine. How do you know, how can you know the ministry God has sent and the one he has not sent? Many of us here do not know. And many of us, secretly, we are going to TV Joshua. When it is time to have children, that's when you know whether you believe this word or not. Because you go somewhere and be drinking something in the night and hide the bottle under your bed. Hallelujah. Amen. How do you know? Hallelujah. Amen. God has sent ministry. Say, God has set in the church. That's what he's doing. He's setting them in brass. They're standing as pillars. He said, then that overcome, you will make pillars in the temple of God. Hallelujah. These men are pillars. Hallelujah. Solomon had two pillars in his temple. He had two pillars. The name of one was Boaz. The other one was Jashen. Amen. Jashen means he will establish. This one means to be quick, to be steadfast, to be zealous in doing the will of God. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is a moving forward. I want to stand to tell you and to tell us that there is a moving forward. This moving forward is not in the carnal. Brethren, there is a carnal world. There is an earthbound world. There is a level of the world which is only addressing ankle. Hallelujah. My problem should not be ankle. Whether I'm standing in front, I have made up my mind. There's no going back. I'm not thinking, well, tomorrow will I go back? I cannot go back. Hallelujah. You understand? So if you are just at the ankle, well, let me see whether I will get contract when I come to this MIS. Will they employ me? The right day, nobody even greeted me. You have just started. Hallelujah. The ministry of the world should not just be ankle. Are you standing or you not standing? Let's come and visit you. You will lie, you will fail. You wake up in the morning, would you pray? Would you pray? Would you fast? Would you fast? That is kindergarten. If God tells us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul says we will lay those foundations if the Lord leads us to. Hallelujah. But brethren, there is a word that is going to address the root of the matter. Amen. Let's look at the root of the matter. He said, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened. That's midnight, darkness. By reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke, what? Locusts upon the earth. And unto them, unto these locusts, we are given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the field, is green, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of their God in their mind. Forehead. Forehead means mind. The soul has levels. And when you are talking about forehead, you are addressing the veil. You are addressing the personality of the individual. Amen. God has soul. And the Bible says God poured out his soul. Don't you understand? Man has the nature of God. Because God breathed into man the soul of God, the spirit, the ruach, got into man. Hallelujah. But you see, that was just a deposit. That soul must be improved upon. That spirit, that deposit must be improved, must be fashioned onto the image of the Son of God. It's like a man that received a talent. He hid it in the ground. He didn't make any improvement on it. Hallelujah. The other man received 5. And he brought forth another 5. Hallelujah. Another one received 10 and brought forth another 10. Amen. You and I must multiply. We must make an improvement on this deposit, this seed that has been planted in us. Hallelujah. God expects a harvest. Hallelujah. The harvest is the harvest of the soul. The emphasis, brethren, is not on your leg. Because that says, dust thou art, and to dust thou will return. Amen. The spirit comes from God. So that, you see, the soul, if you can see the vision of the soul is standing at the middle. He needs the spirit. He needs the body. Hallelujah. The body is given to the soul so that the soul can relate to the earth. The soul, the body is only a vehicle. Hallelujah. The spirit is given to the soul so that it can relate heavenward to God. But when the time is up, it says, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest will not. God has planted the seed, that seed of Christ. Hallelujah. That seed of Christ was first planted in Jesus. The spirit of Christ came into the body of the man, Jesus. And he became Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. The same spirit that brought forth the harvest in him, that same spirit of Christ must also bring forth the same harvest in us. That is the doctrine of Christ. Now the devil fighting it is telling you, no, you cannot be like Christ. You cannot overcome. God is calling the soul. To come to the place where he receives a seed. This seed must multiply until it takes over the whole soul. It's like a woman who receives a meal, isn't it also? And that meal must produce unto the first and the second and third measure. The seed of Christ that we have received in our soul must fill the whole earth. Hallelujah. So there must be a downward movement. Now, there's a problem. The problem we have, the contention God has with his people, is that we are not soul-based people. Our ministry, our songs, our activity is all outer court, flesh, flesh, body, body, matter. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not expecting you to say amen. Hallelujah. And I'm expecting you to pray for me and forgive me. Maybe I may say something you won't like it now. Hallelujah. But I have a body that I must discharge my body. Amen. Amen. I can't sleep. When I woke up, I say, God, this matter is still there. Hallelujah. What is God's contention with his people? We are not of them who draw back unto perdition. But we are of them that press on to the saving of the so, hallelujah. When you come to the tabernacle, there is an altar called word. There is an altar called worship. Amen. I don't know if you know the difference. There is a word that is specific to the holy place. There's another word that is specific. Which one are you hearing? Hallelujah. Which is the dominant type of word you are hearing? And by what principle are you living? Last week, by what principle did you live? Are you walking as one who is offering the soul? The soul must be offered to God. And when you talk about the soul, we have said it's the mind, it's the emotion, it's the desire, is the will, right? And he says, this man here must come out from his father's house, from his nation. He must come out from kindred. And must come out from what? Family. So, last week, was this your reference point? Was it my reference point? Hallelujah. And he's saying, the soul, the chief part of the soul is the mind. The chief part of the mind is the conscience, the understanding, the knowledge, and then what's the third one? That's the fourth one. I can't remember. But he said this locust was going to attack men in their mind. That's what he's saying. This locust, anybody who does not have the sealing of God in the mind will be attacked. So these are spirits that have a destination. You know, in medicine, when there are some cells, when you introduce them, if I give you blood transfusion, and I if in those that transfusion there is what we call stem cell, the stem cell cannot go anywhere but it's going to the bone marrow. It must go to the bone marrow. That's the only place it can go to. Amen. When a spirit comes into the soul of a man, it has destination. This particular one has one destination. It's going to the mind. Not just the mind, it's going to the conscience. And if you look at Hebrews 8:9-10 says that it is the conscience that has to have dead works. Dead works, conscience. Amen. Conscience is that's God's realm of law. You understand? Men make law. You drive this side, drive that side. God doesn't make such laws. God's law is within. It's within the mind. Hallelujah. Say, I will put my law where? In the inward part. That's where God deals with. And the devil is also interested in that place. He has gone to the conscience. He has already says whose mind are darkened. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm not expecting the amen. No, I'm not just expecting it. Amen. So don't worry, I'm making my transition. God will help you. I'm moving. God is helping your brother. As you pray more, I'll be improving. Hallelujah. The soul must be sealed. The soul. Now, how can a word directed at the flesh save the soul? Amen. If the soul is going to be sealed, then that word must be directed at the soul. Hallelujah. Let's read the scripture, Revelation 7. Revelation 7. We really welcome questions. Revelation 7 says, and after these things I saw four angels standing, 7-1, on the four corners of the earth. The four corners of the earth speaks of the four natures of the soul, holding the four winds of the earth, that they should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on the tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east. That's the ministry. The ministry always comes from the east. The east speaks of the mind of God. The east. This is the east. This is the west. This is the north. This is the north. And this is the south. Amen. So the ministry always comes from the east. Having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels to whom it was given, he says, to hurt the earth and the sea. And he's saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Amen. So, if we really understand the prophetic calendar of God, we will know that we are in the period in which God is sealing the foreheads, is sealing the mind. In God's program, according to this chapter, there is judgment coming. Amen. Amen. You know, you and I, we can sit very well here. We will continue to sit. Amen. Amen. But there are people who cannot meet like this. In Borno State, you cannot meet like this. The church has shifted. Hallelujah. And we must pray. Hallelujah. We must pray. Don't take it for granted. But the scripture is saying here, brethren, and that is why you have to pardon me, because I see judgment. The Bible says, God, I say, I will put a watchman upon the wall. If the watchman sees the sword coming and does not warn the people, what will happen to the watchman? The people will be destroyed, but God will hold the watchman accountable for blood. Then someone says, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what, that means what did you see during the night? Hallelujah. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? Hallelujah. Say the night cometh and the morning is also called. Hallelujah. Brethren, trouble is coming. Hallelujah. Well, someone says, look around. We are doing very well. We are now have Nigerian made car. The Nepal is improving. This is Hallelujah. The Bible says, open your eye, shine your eye. Hallelujah. Shine your eye. I shine my eye. I was driving along the road. I saw a 70-year-old woman wearing velvet jeans trousers with a gown on top of it. I said, God, I know the message. That is a 70-year-old woman wearing jeans trousers with a gown. You know that the new design. 70-year-old woman is wearing it and she's selling granite on the road. Hallelujah. I know the locusts have been released. Hallelujah. The spirit of the locusts has been released. And it's attacking the mind. I'm telling you about grandmother. How about the younger? How about the children? Ebere says, God will judge this message in our children. Hallelujah. He says, God will judge. This message we are carrying is not up to 30 years. Pieting came, when did he come? Brother says came 1985. How many years now? So we have children that are growing up. So the jury is out. How much of this message has affected our character? Hallelujah. Okay, I'm not expecting you to say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you and tell myself the locusts have been released. Revelation 9 is now in effect. Hallelujah. He said that when this spirit is released, it eats up anything that is green. That's the only language he knows. You know what green? Green means the ability to bring forth the likeness of God. And it means the womb of the mind. The mind is a womb. Don't you understand? It's the most tender part of the universe is that mind. Because that's where the seed of Christ has been deposited. Don't you understand? The plan of the devil is to turn my womb, my soul, to a wilderness. Dry, lifeless, no ability to nurture this seed that has been given. I must nurture this seed. I must give it life. I must grow it so that it must come forth to become a man child. Hallelujah. These spirits have been released to stop it. It takes away that river. There's a river. The river was, if you look at Ezekiel 47, the river was coming from the temple. The spirit of life. He says, take heed unto yourself, for out of your heart are what? The issues of life. There's a flow of life. Hallelujah. If as I'm talking to you, you do not receive life, then you should pray for me. It's not English grammar, brethren, it's life. It's the ministry of life. Hallelujah. There's a place where it's English grammar. Paul said, I do not come to you with what? With the wisdom of men. But I come to you in demonstration of the spirit and the power of life. Hallelujah. And someone says, righteousness brings forth life. Hallelujah. Anything in God grows. That's one thing you know about God. It will grow. If you put the thing in the presence of God, they brought dry stick. So put it. By the morning, the dry stick has grown and brought for life. Don't you understand? The dry stick is lifeless. But when it stays in the presence of God, there's a life, a flow of life. Hallelujah. And it's not just that. If you have received life, then those around you must receive life also. That is the proof that you have life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Brethren, is the ministry of life, not grammar. We have spoken grammar for too long. It is time for what? Life. Say, show me thy faith By what?
By the life that is coming forth.
Hallelujah. I must be sweet. Amen. See, that green speaks of the Feast of Tabernacles. Eh? Daniel was eating it. Eh? He was eating lentils, pulse, the vegetable. That's what God is restoring. But there is a spirit that is taking away tenderness, brokenness in the heart of man. That is, you are with a brother, you do not feel anything. What do you feel? Contentions, strife. Because this spirit is a spirit of strife. You see, when they move with a big noise. That is the spirit of contention that goes with it. Hallelujah. Someone says, I mean peace. Then when I speak, they are for war. Hallelujah. So it's not just to say, well, I meant well. The point is that you meant well, but when you spoke, it was the spirit of contention that was being released. I know what is going on. It is the spirit of the locust. And the spirit of the locust is attacking the loins. Now, the man is standing at the shore of the river. Brother, he's staying at the shore. The locust is in the loin. Don't you understand? Unless the man moves forward into that river, he will not be healed. Hallelujah. Because it says, everywhere that river will flow, anything it meets, even if it is dead, it will live. Hallelujah. So, the message is clear. I must bring my loins. I must bring my mind. You know, the Bible speaks about the peace offering. The peace offering is offered at the golden altar. It is not an offering for sin. It's not that you have sinned against God. Sin is not the problem. It's not a trespass offering. That you say something, bro, whoever didn't like you, you call him brother, forgive me. That is trespass offering, which is also necessary. Amen. And by the way, you need to do it. Hallelujah. If I say something you didn't like, pull me outside and say, brother, you say something I didn't like. That is trespass offering. But that's not why we're here. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm not waiting for you to say amen. That's not why we're here. We're not here for sin and trespass offering. Hallelujah. We're not even here for meal offering, where we are sharing together, fellowship with the bread. There is a real matter. Hallelujah. It's called the peace offering. And in this offering, you offer the liver, you offer the fat, you offer you offer the innermost, the tender part, that is the emotions and the desire, the what makes you, you. Hallelujah. God says, bring it. That is the offering he's waiting for. Hallelujah. And the question is, are we bringing that offering? The ministry I'm bringing to you, is he encouraging you to bring that offering? Hallelujah. Now, when you talk about the soul has openings. The soul has entrances. The soul has dimensions. And all those dimensions must be touched by this river. Amen. Hallelujah. So when God is telling you about sanctification, you can understand it like I understood it in 1979. When I got into the campus. When you look at me from 1 mile, you know a deeper life brother is on campus. Because my understanding was the consecration of the way I dress. Even though we need it now, because we have gone to the other end. Hallelujah. When you're looking at a brother, you don't know whether it's a male or female. He has this way, he has tattoo everywhere. Hallelujah. So we even need to go back to the foundation. Hallelujah. Amen. There is even the homosexual trouser. That is, a man is wearing dress and his thighs are showing. It is called a homosexual trouser. And I'm seeing it around. Amen. But that's not where we are going to. Amen. There is a reality, a matter that we as a people should be touching. Hallelujah. The consecration is the consecration of the senses. Amen. He says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell. That's how you know the church of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell must not overpower it. What is the gates of hell? The gates of hell is when the lust, that spirit of the lust, the spirit of Ekron, we'll talk about it. Ekron is that which is the spirit of merchandise. It is one of the lusts of the Philistines. The other one, Gat, was the place of pleasure. So you see a walking of the devil where the mind, the ears, the hearing, all the things within your soul is geared towards the flesh. And the Bible said that when that is overpowering the people of God, you know that the gates of hell are prevailing. Hallelujah. The thing is, in my life as a believer, what is it that prevails? The soul must have energy. After we have finished all this grammar, for the rest of this week, my soul and your soul must have energy. That is the bottom line. After all this waving of hands, we will enter practical. What energy do you feed your soul with? Hallelujah. And Paul said, we are not of them that draw back. Hallelujah. See, there is a life and energy in the realm of the flesh. It is called Babylon. It's a table. It is, and the name of that game is passions. And it's very easy. You find it everywhere. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that the frogs are coming from the Nile. There is a river that feeds carnality. There's an energy. You come out and that energy begins to hit your soul. And the man who says, I'm talking about myself, I say I'm moving on. I come to God, I come out empty and simple. Bible says the simple soul cannot be married to Christ. Don't you understand? To be simple means to be plain. I am not clothed with the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom is the principal clothing of the bride of the soul that is breaking forth. When I'm simple, how do you say that the simple man, he does not even see the evil coming. But the wise man, the wise soul sees it and hides. How many of us have the ability to recognize the offense, to recognize the darkness, and have the power in ourselves to hide, to resist it? Hallelujah. The Bible says, he that is slow to anger, is what? He is stronger than the mighty. Hallelujah. He said, he that has no control over his own spirit is what? It's like a city that is broken down. Hallelujah. The spirit of God that comes into my soul must have fruit. It must have evidence. Hallelujah. I can speak all the grammar, but God will test me. Hallelujah. He will test me. And the Bible says, check yourself to know whether you are the faith. In other words, check and look for the fruit. You know, there is something called character. And brethren, I must have character. Hallelujah. That is a mark of sonship. And that is where God is calling. He's calling us to sonship. If you look at this tabernacle, I was talking about it the other day. The longest dimension is 100. 100 is the longest dimension you see in the tabernacle. Any other thing is you have to join to find. If you add 50, this is 50. Add this to this, you get 150. You get 300. 300 speaks of the Gideon's army. That redemption and the salvation of God that he has promised to bring to his people. Hallelujah. But the longest dimension is sonship. And God is speaking about sonship in the soul. As many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And the Spirit of God will lead us to overcome the flesh, to judge the world. Hallelujah. Brethren, we are being called to move higher. Me that is bringing ministry to you, I'm being called to raise my game. Hallelujah. This is where it's happening. And when you're talking about the holy place, you are speaking of a consecration to re-enter the garden. Okay, naturally, someone says it's water baptism. Yes, it's a baptism in water, but it is a commitment of God. And it is my own commitment that I am going back again to the realms of the Spirit. The first Adam was removed, and those who are following the second Adam must go back. Hallelujah. So the scripture says, there yet remaineth a rest for the people of God. I want to do with two numbers and I'll end. Now, if you look, there's a dimension here of 50, and then you see another dimension of 100. Somebody says 50 is middle way. Middle way, middle. The middle way of the 100 is 50. And I was saying that the journey of the soul is an upward journey. Amen. It's not just enough to start. Well, thank God too. It's also good to start. Amen. It's good to start. But if a man starts the journey and has not purpose in his heart to finish it, he's likely to be derailed. Hallelujah. He's likely to be derailed. And the 50 gives us two messages. One is the message of Pentecost. 50 means Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. Amen. And it's a halfway. That 50 also means Jubilee. Okay, so you find this message, they find that they go together. So you see in the church today, there is a big festival. There's a big festival going on. A big rejoicing, a lot of noise making. Yes, they're rejoicing over the deliverance of God, the miracles of God. Yeah, and they ask the man the question, which one do you prefer? Healing of the body or the healing of the soul? Hallelujah. Jesus said, do not be afraid of those who can destroy the body, but they're not able to touch the soul. Hallelujah. See, the message of Pentecost is a bride-based message. It is different from the message of the holy place and the holy soul, which is a king-based message. Esther, which speaks of that true bride, she did not want anything for herself. But all the other women, they were concerned about what they will get from the king. Hallelujah. So in the church today, there are two types of message. There is a bride-based message, prosperity, blessing. Alright? And some of us here are confused. When you come, you say, why are they not talking about blessing? I'm looking for work. Nobody has prayed for me to get a job. I'm looking for this one. Nobody has done so and so and so and so. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Has anybody felt like that? Okay, you don't want to raise your hand. Amen. Hallelujah. If they ask you, what are you following? Hallelujah. Are you among those who are like Esther? I say, look, I'm not concerned with what is good, what I want. I'm concerned with what will please the king. And she went to the chamberlain, which is the Holy Spirit, and said, tell me the things that will please the king. Hallelujah. They said, 6 months. Training with oil of man, bitterness, consecration, repentance, mourning. Every day you come to fellowship and somebody, why, rebuke. Yeah, wow. You come again tomorrow and that, why? Wow. You can't even rest in this fellowship where it's called 6 months oil of man. Man speaks of repentance. Hallelujah. And then another 6 months, she received sweet odors. Amen. And after that period of training, her soul was made ready for the king. Hallelujah. So by the time she was coming in, she was prepared. Hallelujah. Brethren, there must be a preparation. And the preparation must be inward to prepare. You know, so the point I'm trying to make is, be wary of the 50. To be carried away by the message of prosperity and miracle is God. And we need it. Amen. Hallelujah. But brethren, there is a life and there is a purpose of God beyond the Pentecostal message. Hallelujah. And if you see it, you will not be confused. And the message is not saying Pentecost is not of God. Hallelujah. Or to say Jubilee is not of God. In fact, you need it. You need to walk in it. The Bible says that thou mayest be in health. Eh? Even as thy soul prospereth. Hallelujah. When your soul is prospering, this body, the energy of God in your soul, the next destination is the body. Hallelujah. So Jesus gave his body because he knew that he can take it up. Hallelujah. Don't you understand? Jesus submitted his body. Say, you want the body, take it. He said, I take it up. Hallelujah. And after 3 nights and 3 days, the Bible says, he took up his body. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is a power coming to the body. But it cannot come to the body unless the soul is energized. The soul must come to the place of judgment. It must come to the place of consecration. It must be baptized. The soul must be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Don't you understand? Hallelujah. As the Spirit receives baptism, the soul also must be anointed. Must be anointed and beautified. Because this soul is the bride of Christ. Don't you understand? The soul must be anointed. The life of God must come into the soul. Hallelujah. So it's not just that emphasis for emphasis' sake. The reason for the emphasis is because the focus of what God is doing is upon the soul. And we are being called to move forward. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm going to end. Hallelujah. But brethren, I see spirits that have been released. Wild spirits that are running around. Hypertension, diabetes, cancer. And what they are doing, they are taking away the green. They are looking for them who have the mark in their soul. To get the mark in the soul is a conscious activity. That is, I must present my soul for it to be sealed. It says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed. He said, thy word have I heed. Amen. Thy word have I heed in my heart that I might not sin. Hallelujah. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That mouth speaks of the mouth of the soul. The soul eats. Hallelujah. Amen. As you have mouth in your mouth, that's how you have mouth in your soul. Hallelujah. Say, man shall not live by bread alone. Hallelujah. Amen. But by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. As God hears, you hear. Hallelujah. You hear naturally, you hear with the spiritual ear. Hallelujah. As God sees, you see with. In fact, that inward seeing is called eido. That is, you can see beyond the natural seeing. Hallelujah. There is an inward. It says the eyes of the understanding. And when you go to Revelation 4 and 5, it says the beast, those creatures that formed the temple of God, the throne of God, they were full of eyes outside and within and in front and behind. In other words, their whole nature is that of seeing, knowing. Hallelujah. He said, my people do not know me. He said, this is life eternal that we may what? Know him. It's a relationship. No relationship gets underway without commitment. Hallelujah. The question is, are you committed to know God? He said, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. God will never draw close to a man that is not making a step towards him. To think so is ultimate reconciliation, and we believe it. Amen. It's for you to say you don't believe it. You go to God and say, I don't believe it. Go and say, God, I don't believe it. Amen. That's between you and God. But God says, as you say, we believe it. Let God be true. Let everybody be. Let me be a liar. Hallelujah. Because there is such a spirit going around. He says, you don't need to do anything. You are God's friend. Say, draw close to God and he will draw close. Hallelujah. When a man is not presenting his senses, when a man is not hiding the word of God and he says, my soul will be sealed, that soul will not be sealed. That soul will be overrun by the spirit of the locust. And the locusts are already released. If you look at them, say that they have crown of gold. That means they have already received authority from God. Hallelujah. And they're walking. They're walking. But it says they bite the men with the sting of the scorpion. The sting of the scorpion is in the tail. Is it not? Good. And when the men were beaten by the serpent, they looked up. As many people who looked up were saved. Hallelujah. So if you have been beaten by the locusts, you cry to God, say, God, deliver me from the locusts. The canker worm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, and the locusts. Four generations of destruction. Hallelujah. The God says, I will restore the years of the locust. Hallelujah. So don't say, this brother, locust, locust. Eh? God says, he will restore the years of the locust. So I must go to God, say, God, you must restore the tenderness of my relationship with you. Hallelujah. Where you are hearing the voice of God, there is a sweetness in here. This relationship is not just every day suffering and crying and grumbling. It is a place of sweetness. Hallelujah. He says, I heard his voice and it was sweet to me. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is a place of life. There is a place of communion. And we are being called to that place. But he's saying there are spirits that have also been released to make sure that you and I do not come there. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Why are we praying? Hallelujah. Where are you? Are you at the ankle? Or are you at the knee? By the way, is blessing. Blessing, blessing. That's, you have found out that when you come to God, he blesses you. That's all you're interested. But your loins are untouched. Don't you understand? The water is just at your knee. Blessing, blessing, blessing. When you have trouble, you come to fellowship. When they solve the problem, you don't come again. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Ankle. Ankle is just at the shore. You are just by the brink, untouched. You are just a spectator. You are just looking. You are just starting. You are just seeing the kingdom, but you have not yet entered. Amen. But the loin is where God wants us to be, where we are bringing the inward part. We say, God, heal my soul, Lord. Cleanse my soul, O God. I bring to you my passions. I bring to you my liver, my kidney. I bring to you my fat, the energy of my life, the purpose of my life, the thing that makes me who I am. Hallelujah. I bring my fat and I offer it to you. Hallelujah. That's where God wants us to be, at the fat. Hallelujah. And if we come to that place, then God is going to heal the loins. He will heal the locust. Hallelujah. If you check in Egypt, the locust was the eighth plague. After the locust was darkness. I hope you understand what God is saying. Brethren, we are just 1 inch, just close from midnight. Hallelujah. We must hurry up. As soon as Zion traveled, God, Jonah cried out and God heard him. Amen. So there is a cry from God saying the spirit of the locust has been let loose, but we can be healed. Amen. Hallelujah. The principle of healing is the principle of Jonah. The man was in the belly of the fish, but he began to cry out. And God commanded the fish to vomit him out. Hallelujah. May God vomit us out. Amen. Amen. May he command the fish of work. The fish of pleasures. The fish speaks of the systems of men. The television and the DSTV and the internet. Those things are fishes. They have overwhelmed us and swallowed us up. Hallelujah. God says we can be delivered. Amen. Shall the prayer of the mighty be delivered? Yes. Can I be delivered from the besetting sin? Can I be delivered from the lifestyle of whoredoms? where I live unto pleasure, can I be delivered? And the answer, yes. The prey of the captive can be delivered. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we bow heads to just pray and respond to God? Amen. Hallelujah.